This call is being recorded.
Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
All right. Welcome to the Developers Forum. This is a chance for anyone interested in OpenMRS development to share ideas, chat about things, ask questions, bring up topics, whatever. Basically, it's an opportunity for us to chat by voice instead of just over email, and we can shape it any which way we want. We do make up topics ahead of time for the sake of trying to move things forward, but our agendas are flexible. If you have something you want to talk about, feel free to suggest it. Last week we talked about platform 1.12 release planning and where we stood on OpenMRS 2.2. We reviewed developer stages and not a lot of notes were taken. Any questions, comments about last week? All right, I'll take that as a no. This week, the topics we have are, we had been talking as a community about how we have not really kept up with internal libraries, Spring, Hibernate as the main ones, but some of our other dependencies. We've had discussions about how to move that forward, but one of the thoughts was that we should bring these into a developers forum and see if we can't come up with an action plan or next steps to get those things upgraded. So we had Spring on the agenda for today. We also had made space for Google Summer of Code 2015 planning, since that's coming up very quickly. Any other topics people would like to discuss? I'll take that as a no. Is there anyone with particular expertise or knowledge about upgrading Spring on the call? So, why to upgrade Spring? We used the Spring framework, which is Spring framework. Current version is 4.14 is the current. And if we look at Spring version, where is Spring version? There it is. So it looks like we're on 3.2.7.
So I don't know if we discussed this earlier, but Joseph Kavisi did some work around looking at how we can upgrade Spring during the hackathon. And I believe the plan was to upgrade to 4.x. He had created a ticket point, basically, chunk 4607. I don't know if Joseph is on the call. So I believe the main problem he had pointed out was that we have to get rid of all the simple form controllers and basically upgrade to...
So the initial question wasn't what are the issues with upgrading.
Yeah.
The initial question is why upgrade?
Why? Well, if we don't upgrade right now, they'll keep working on Spring, and it will become harder and harder and harder for us to catch up.
One root register.
And annotation is the second root register.
Let's see.
Java 8.
So Java 8 support. So, I mean, there's improvements. I guess the question is there a blocker or a primary reason, or is it just to see if we can?
So I don't think there was a primary reason as such, other than the need to start using the latest features. So I don't think there was specific use cases around Java for Java 8, though.
Okay, so the point is that 3.2 is no longer being maintained. Yeah, so it looks they're still doing maintenance fixes to it, but all the work is going into 4. So I think the primary reason was because of that, and because we didn't think that we would get to Spring 4 in a week. So I think there was discussion. Did they link to the dev list on this?
There was a topic on the dev list, okay. But...
There it is. Oh, it's not a link. So we did have work. Kuis was working on at the hackathon. There was a question about how to remain compatible with Spring MVC. Someone suggested in the 2000s. Yeah. I worry a little bit about that.
For the scope, yeah.
So there was talk about, Darius suggested maybe we could just copy the Spring controller into our legacy UI module. And then also, I think Louis suggesting that, you know, maybe another tack would be to provide some directions on how to migrate from a simple form controller to an annotated one.
Which it requires quite an amount of work.
So let's see where we end up. So we got Chris tried. That Jackson is also another dependency. So we go down the rabbit hole.
So that's a big no for GSoft.
No.
Yeah, this line alone from Darius suggests it's not a great GSoft project.
Yeah.
So we had, I think, some good efforts to look into it. The question is does that conversation die here, and do we just continue with the version of Spring we have until it falls out of maintenance? And
the problem is, like, even at this point, there's quite a lot of work being done around the controllers, and if we don't upgrade, we'll just keep building more and more stuff on top of the older version. So there's sense in trying to upgrade as soon as we can, because just to stop old work being piled up on top of what we're doing right now. Because right now we have this many errors. 2 months from now, with more development work, we'd have more. Maybe branch open embargo and try upgrade it to 4.2. Sorry, Fox.
So I think it's without some dedicated effort, it's hard to imagine that just volunteer efforts in the community that someone's going to come along and say, hey guys, by the way, I upgraded Spring and worked out all the issues, and so. So then it becomes, I think, a matter of prioritization and timing.
Maybe if there's a group of volunteers who want to work together on it, if there's some local group or people who want to contribute their time, maybe that might be a good option. We should keep it in the back of our mind in case someone asks what could be done.
So what you're saying, that we forget about it and hope that someone comes along?
I mean that was a good fit. And if there's some kind of group, that would be like an ideal task for them to work on, because there'll be many people, many technically capable people working together. But we shouldn't hope for that.
Is there any more benefit from kind of further understanding the problem? The suggestion of seeing if we could hack our own Spring controller.
I think there's many things. Someone can basically go in and dig into the problem some more, so that if there's a group of people who want to work on it, maybe they would basically understand. Oh, sorry, we missed you. Was someone online who wants to say anything?
Yeah. What will be the effort for doing this? Will it be plain copy-pasting most of the code into controllers, or will it need more technical expertise? Because if it needs mostly about copy pasting, we can direct the new GSOC students who will be trying into starting out with this as a task.
So I think what Maud is saying is that if we have a clear idea of what needs to be done, and it's as simple as moving the files, that could be like a basic intro ticket broken up for many people to work on. But at this point, I don't think we are quite sure if that's as easy as that. So maybe there are some value in having one of our dev files looking at the task and trying to figure things out and just putting up a game plan. So I don't know if you can see the notes page, but basically Burke is asking if there is a time limit or if there is a point in time where we have no choice but to upgrade. Does anybody have any idea about?
I don't know about the upgrade specifically, but I know that Spring 4 is not needed to move simple form controllers because Spring 3 has all the other controllers tasks that can be used to directly move out of simple form controllers. But if there are other advantages that you are keen on getting, it might be good to have a try.
Yeah, true. I guess if we had a better idea of what would break when we upgrade to Spring 4, that might be a good place to start planning further. I mean, if it breaks everything else. So Paolo is asking if there is any harm for someone to create a clone and hack into it.
What's that?
So Paolo, there's of course no harm at all. You're welcome to.
Yeah. Patches are welcome, Paolo. Were you saying that, I guess he's reading into the
dev list thing.
The dev list that. I don't know, maybe we can convince them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, any other comments, suggestions?
Initially, as mentioned, I don't think it is needed to upgrade to 4 to move the simple form controllers, but it is required for that. So maybe without changing it to 4, we can start with moving the code to a code from simple form controllers to reduce the number of errors at least.
The code to what?
Sorry, Maurya, we didn't follow you. Can you please repeat?
Yeah, so for moving into Spring 4, we need to get rid of simple form controllers, but to move to move from simple form controllers to other controllers, it is not needed. So we can start with simple form moving simple form controllers, and then after most of them are done, then we can upgrade it to 4. Did you get me?
Yeah, I think what you're suggesting is kind of a staged approach.
Yeah. So.
Any other comments?
Paolo has made some comments in the chat. I think we should. So Paolo asks, is someone on the call willing to be brave and state a way forward? Less coding, more leading. I do think we need some more discussion before.
Yeah, I don't think this is one that you can just de facto say we should do this without getting into the code and seeing what the ramifications are.
Oh,
of course they would be in a clone.
Yeah, so he's asking why can't we... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think the issue isn't the lack of things to try. It's someone owning it and putting in the effort. And so we can call out and give people that authority and say, this would be a great benefit to us.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to get that code done talking about it. Yeah. You can't plow a field turning it over in your mind.
So we need a project champion.
Yep. That was the to-do, I think, Paul, is what you're referring to. Any other comments? Yeah, I think the we have several possibilities, and I think the what Maria is suggesting in terms of trying out the controller and in a way that it can play well in our existing code is probably the most viable. So that will probably be what I'll suggest in our reply, that I'll forward them to this conversation and the notes we took, and be happy if someone says, you know what, that's a great suggestion, but here's a better one, and I think we should go this way. All right. The other topic we had for today was
GSOC.
Yep. Yes.
So as you guys know, the Google Summer of Code program for the year 2015 is around the corner. We've taken part in this project for many, many years, and we've had a lot of success. We've worked with a lot of students, and it's something we are really passionate about. So we are very excited to take part in the Google program this year as well. So far, we've applied for the program, and we are very positive about being selected as a mentoring organization. At this point of the time, they're basically looking for good mentors and potential project ideas, and basically trying to prepare students to become, potential students to become good potential interns. So if you're looking at the notes page, we've shared some links with you. The first one is basically a link to our project page on the OpenMRS wiki. So this page is what's going to contain all the information about this year's program, how to apply, who the potential mentors are, and what potential projects you'll get to work on. And yes, Burke is pointing out to me that we haven't talked about dev null to dev one in this instruction, but
why is my head so much bigger than it is? am I really bad, like self-involved?
So right now we are seeing on this page a list of potential mentors and potential project ideas. We are still working on those. If anybody on this call have potential project ideas, they are welcome to approach us. Or if you think that you could be a good mentor and have time to contribute, please also feel free to contact us. You can reach out to either me, Suranga, or Michael Downey, or better yet, mail the community@openmrs.org email list. We are also in the process of basically trying to organize a number of GSOC introductory sessions across universities. So if you are interested in either taking organizing such a program in your own university, feel free to contact us. We can help you with resources and goodies. So there's that opportunity as well. Anybody has any questions on the topic? Burke, any comments?
Yeah, we kind of put down a gauntlet of trying to get the process of going from dev null to dev one in place for Google Summer Code, and I fear that's slipping away. When's the date that students would start applying?
So according to the official deadline, students will start applying on the 16th of March.
So we have 1 month?
Yeah. So we have 1 month to get the dev null to dev one process up. Students may apply until the 27th of March.
So assuming we, like between Saptarshi and I, we were able to get a quiz up and even if it wasn't fully automated, we could at least give people a quiz. That's feasible given a tool like Moodle. Michael, what do you think the odds of the other parts of DevNull to Dev1 are?
So this is the point where I have to go check because I haven't got them committed to memory yet.
Okay, I can check for you. So
the difficult things are going to be, you know, how do we know that they have done in a development environment?
That will be part of the quiz. So will the RTFM will be covered by the quiz. OpenMRS ID, I assume, is pretty easy for you to check.
Yes.
So the question would be is, like, knowing that they've introduced themselves, knowing that they have a ticket, and that a pull request is accepted. A pull request...
So accepted, does that mean merged?
I think so.
Merged, yes.
Well, yeah.
So that is not in alignment with our expectations for applicants, that they don't necessarily have to have a pull request merged to apply. Rather just have contributed one.
Oh, good. So they can submit a pull request even if it's crap?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
So we're going to say pull request.
Having had made an effort.
Yeah.
Depending on what the pull request is, the bar may be a little bit high. Especially for people in a tight timeline.
Yeah.
So it's qualitative, it's not quantitative.
But so to what extent do we think that these... So the quiz will cover... I'm assuming OpenMRS ID is trivial. The quiz will cover the the second two. So the question is knowing that they've introduced themselves and that they've been assigned to a ticket and that they've submitted a pull request, if you don't have an easy way to tell if they've submitted a pull request, that's probably something that I could strip pretty easily.
So, yeah, we have, there's a plugin to watch a single repo for commits. We don't have any code yet that will look at pull requests, but that's certainly something that could be added on to that, I think, fairly, I don't want to say fairly trivially, but with not a huge amount of effort.
Okay, so you think that those, so you think, what would be the, let's say we got Moodle set up and had a process where someone would put in their OpenMRS ID, answer some questions, and when they had passed that test, we would have a list of people, like OpenMRS IDs that had passed the quiz. Is that something that you would just kind of run a script to kind of merge that in and that would turn into a badge? I think it's okay if it's kind of semi-automated at the get-go. We don't have to have the fully automated, you know, shiny version.
Yeah, I think the end point that we want to reach is where we can either, you know, do some type of query, populate a table or something that we can query and see the answers to that.
Yeah.
So we can get that up to us.
Okay. All right, so it maybe
what the data, getting data out of Moodle looks like, depending on how difficult that is.
I doubt that's too hard, but I think they have an API even, so. Cool. All right, well, I will work with Septarshi to push the Moodle questions and getting that set up. Should I just use a DigitalOcean instance, or do we have a server available that we could set up Moodle on?
We haven't done too much research into Moodle yet, looking at system requirements.
Yeah, I guess,
I think we might want to do that for now, for the temporary state. And let's look at exactly how we're using it and what the resources are. But we can obviously provision hardware pretty easily once we know what we need.
So say you needed at least a gigabyte of space. Oh, well, let's say 5 gigabyte. And at least 1 gigabyte of RAM. And an operating system. we would probably use Apache or Nginx. And so I wouldn't ask to have anything set up beyond, I would personally prefer like an Ubuntu. I'm more comfortable in Ubuntu than CentOS, but I could live in CentOS if I must. I'm more familiar with Debian. So if we set a Debian box with you know a disk drive, I don't know if even less than 5 gig is even an option, and a gig of memory, is that something that we could get or are we?
Yeah, absolutely, and we may be able to, access onto one of our larger servers with more horsepower.
Okay.
Looking at the actual documents, we're not planning on a large number of concurrent users.
No.
So probably dedicating between 1 and 2 gig of memory for that issue.
Yeah.
So cross-check that with our existing infrastructure.
Okay.
So Paolo pointed out there are a number of new attendees on the call today. I was wondering if we can interest them to introduce themselves they are introducing themselves on the chat, I believe. There are at least three new faces, names. Anybody?
I don't think they come with mics.
So Sharon Vage says hi and that she wants to learn more about how developers work on OpenMRS. Tarunya says to be part of the community and to learn about how the OpenMRS dev team works. Oh yeah, no mics. So welcome everybody. It's nice to have you here today. And just sorry that we didn't welcome you guys earlier. So I believe another point we've been discussing was the potential to try to expand the scope for this year's GSOC and try to get more diverse range of projects to be involved. So we've talked to Ada about having a number of Mosima related projects. So that's why you're seeing Vin and Samuel on the mentors list. They'll be basically trying to get some Mosima Android based projects. We've also reached out to a number of different people and we are hoping to get a wider range of projects in. I don't know if Jonathan Dick would be interested or if there are people we are missing out from this list who you think would have good use cases that are.
Yeah, I mean, Jonathan's an example of someone who might be. I think the trick there is just making it clear what the requirements of a mentor are. People need to know what, you know, what they're getting into. And I think one thing that is commonly, the most common mistake is people think that this is about getting people to write code. And
that's clearly not the case.
Yeah.
So for the benefit of the new people who are on the call, for us, the GSOC program is far more about the people, as Burke keeps saying. It's not about the code, it's about the people. So. To us, a successful project is less about getting work done, but about getting a community member enrolled. So that's something we really stress. Also, Paolo is actually Paul. I didn't know that.
Yeah. You didn't realize that Paolo,
I thought,
the O threw you off?
So Paolo, there was a Paolo at Mozambique as well. Okay. Too many Pauls.
Sarangao.
I didn't realize you were Saranga. You're sitting right next to me.
Anything? Michael, do you have any more observations to make around GSOC?
I think what's here is, and what we've discussed is the important thing. We have an absolute deadline of the 20th of February to get ideas posted. And the reason that is the deadline and not the beginning of March is the following week, Google will be reviewing the organization applications, and they want to see that we have a variety of ideas suitable for a variety of skill levels, as we usually do. So I'm not particularly worried about that. But just two reminders, that one, it's perfectly fine for mentors to post more than one idea per person. But keep in mind that you can only mentor one project, so you'll have to choose between the applicants that come in. And yeah. Two, what Paul says, or Paulo, I should say, said in the chat today, that although it may be tempting to use Google Summer of Code as a time to get your personal pet project accomplished for the summer, let's also work pretty hard to make sure that these are worthwhile projects and that they fit into kind of our strategic plans for OpenMRS as much as we can.
Yeah, I'm less, honestly, less concerned about them being strategic for OpenMRS because I think the value is getting folks excited about contributing to open source. I think the value of them being OpenMRS related and useful projects for the community is because it maximizes the chance that what the student is doing will benefit someone, and I think the value in that is that gives them some positive feedback. I think we as a community are in a very unique position compared to other open source communities to not only save lives with code, but to demonstrate to those people that are contributing code how they're saving lives by, in my dream world, anyone working on an open MRS project, Google Summer of Code project, at some point by the end or before the end would have some comments from, an implementer on the ground saying, thanks so much for what you've done on this. This is how we're using it. Or here's a picture of your new tool working in Botswana or in Cambodia or in Thailand or in the Ukraine or wherever. And I think that is something that we have, fallen short of many times. And maybe it's not a realistic goal, but it's still something that I would like to have as a goal. But in my mind, the thing that, as from a meta standpoint, is kind of administrating Google Summer of Code is that I would like us to be looking out after projects that are overly, are expecting too much. Mm-hmm. So those projects that are likely to take 3 or more months of effort mm-hmm. from a skilled programmer are most likely to fail or fall short. And I would like to call those out. I hope we would call those out early and try to get them to say what's your minimum deliverable, and let's get that, make sure that that's a 1 or 2 month project to ensure that everybody, all the students have success, and that the and that two is that not only are we trying to make sure the size of the projects are decent, but that we're ensuring that what was I going to say? It just flew out of my mind. Item number two will come back to me in a second.
Burke blacked out. So in the interest of getting GSOC projects that are actually like could be used in real life implementations, I've been trying to talk with the PIH guys about getting some of their Ebola related ideas or Mirabelle ideas as potential projects. That's something that we need to pursue even further, because there's a lot of potential there. And in terms of scoping the projects, I think I am pretty confident that we could scope them well, because our mentor selection process is far more complicated than the student selection process.
Oh, okay.
It's far harder to become a mentor.
Item number two came to mind, and that is, as administering the program, my hope is not only we would be looking at the size, making sure that things are set up for success, that they have reasonable goals, but the other piece is to make sure that oh man, I just lost it again. I think maybe I'm having a small stroke or something.
Possibly qualitative.
What was it? Just slipped out of my mind again. Unbelievable. I'm going to have to do a full neuro exam after this call.
I think Burke is carrying the new interns.
It's
So Paul prescribes an aspirin or an Itrotab for you.
Yeah.
Here it is. I got to say it quick before it falls out again. Is that we need to underscore as much as possible the value of describing the project well and putting the effort into the descriptions, because I've seen time after time after time in the last whatever, how many, nearly a decade we've been doing this, that if you write crappy project descriptions or even decent ones that are not interesting, you end up with lackluster students applying, and that people, ideally mentors, need to realize that the putting the effort in describing the problem, making it sound exciting, advertising, the marketing of the particular project, the effort they put into that will pay off 100-fold. Because we've had in the past, I know some of the folks at Partners in Health kind of fall away from doing mentoring. They're less interested in doing mentoring because they kind of throw a project out there. They get, maybe they get a student to apply or two, but they just don't have a good experience. Whereas I know when we, in those projects where we really put the effort in describing the project, making it sound exciting, we get a lot more applications. We end up with much better students, and the experience is much better for everybody. So I think underscoring to people, not just we need you to make a project page, but making it clear to them that the effort that they put into describing it will pay off 1,000-fold. That was the other thing in my brain. Now I can go back to my stroke. All right. Well, I think we've hit that time. We have next week. We have another 2.2 showcase, and we wanted to talk about Angular forms. I think I need to check. I think this was driven by Jonathan and or Darius, so we need to ping them and make sure that they are still wanting to have that discussion. And it would be great if we could have a showcase of condition lists or look through registration or something with OpenMRS 2.2. So we'll try to push one of those. I've sent out several emails to the dev list for folks asking for people to kind of take ownership of one of the milestones for 2.2, and would welcome any volunteers. As an FYI, I'm going to be staffing the wards over the next 2 weeks. So we'll be looking to someone else to run this call over the next 2 weeks. So it'll be probably someone sitting next to me. So we have, and we also had a security expert come at a month or so ago, and he's actually contributed some pages and some, done some kind of voluntary efforts for us, and we've talked about getting him back. So anyway, next week will be hopefully a little bit of 2.2 discussion as well as talking about Angular forms. I wish I could be on that one, but I'm probably going to miss it. So thanks, everybody. Thanks for all the new faces joining the call. We welcome you. And thanks for everybody for your contributions and I think a good discussion. So we will see those of you who can make it on next week's call. And between now and then, we'll see you in cyberspace.